Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 158.
Yes.
Now, if you're watching this, you might notice we're sat differently to normal. It's side by side. And guys on my left and I'm on the right. It's because we've got a guest on today. So we've been set up, but we've just had the guest on. I was nervous about this one.
I bet you were.
Very, very, very nervous.
But fortunately for you, most of the bad stories couldn't make the cut. So they're all...
Thank God. Thank God they were so bad, they wouldn't be allowed to come on the podcast. Today, we have on the show my ex-tutor at college.
Your teacher.
My teacher, Rick Daniels, Mr. Daniels, is on.
He's my favourite Rick now. You're like an all right Rick. He's like the Don of all Ricks.
He is, listen.
When I grew up, I'd be Rick, not this Rick.
So, but I've probably said it on the podcast before. When I was 16 to 18, I went to a college called Myerscough College to do golf studies. I enjoyed my time there from a social standpoint.
Yes. Yeah, you were, even though I obviously didn't know you back then, I can just picture you so vividly. And you were, you said this in the podcast, it's coming up now, you were wearing Burberry, you were earrings in, you were a character.
I was a cocky, very cocky 16-year-old.
Yeah.
People might say it's not changed, but 20 years ago, I turned up at that college thinking I was the best thing since sliced bread, and I left 2 years later realising... you're not the best thing since sliced bread. No. But it did me a good stead to form the career that I've got to now. We also allude to, we've just finished filming a video at my school with some of the students. Genuinely right now, it might be one of the best videos we've ever made.
It was insane. This podcast actually though, I mean, it was very, very good. It was one of my favourites done in a long time. It was a nice balance. It was funny in parts, but there was actually a lot of really good learnings. I think a lot of people who listen to this or watch this want to work in golf. And why would you not? You know, if you're a golf fan, which you probably are if you're watching this or listening to this, working in golf is one of the best things you can do. And there's a lot of advice that if you're, no matter how old you are, if you're 16, if you're 55, there's a lot of jobs out there. And hopefully this episode might give you some inspiration and help you out.
Yeah, so Rick's led the golf. He's basically head of golf at Myerscough for 22 years. He was a student there. He's a PGA golf professional, similar to myself. He's had 800 students through the doors at Myerscough. So there's some really... characters, and he'll tell some stories around that as well. Some successes.
Yes. He actually
alluded to that I was a success.
Yeah, I didn't fully believe his nose started growing as he said. But he's still here, he's off camera, and as it stands, he's currently the head of golf in this room as well. So
he is.
He's the best
head of golf.
Yes, he is. But different podcast this week. We will be kind of back to normal next week. So if you've got any emails you want to send in off the back of this podcast or just generic questions or thoughts or feelings, let us know. It's podcast@rickshields.com.
We have also going to be in next week's podcast going to be talking about a range night we're going to do in St Andrews, which is actually happening tonight.
As you're watching this, range night is tonight at St Andrews.
So sorry if you missed out on tickets, but there was only a very, very selected amount and they went on free sale last week and they sold out within about 3 minutes. We'll do more range nights. The video will be coming from that, but it means we get to go to our favourite place in the world, St Andrews.
And you're going to give away lots of dollar potentially.
I know.
I think that's why people now, with the tickets for range night, sold out. I'll say sold out, they were free, but they sold out, they went within minutes. I think that's now because people know you go with a lot of cash and there's challenges that are achievable.
Yes, Maybe business strategy was that charging for tickets. So this might be the last free one.
It's not a very good business model, is it really? No. We go to a driving range. People don't pay to come.
We hire the driving range. Yeah. So anyway, it's in partnership with Top Tracer. Obviously, one of my... I'm a global ambassador for Top Tracer, one of my partners. So it's going to be a really good video. Stay tuned for that. And it also means we're spending 3 days in St. Andrews filming some content, which will be drip fed through December.
You're going to be doing some Break 75s.
I might be bringing the golf clubs out of retirement.
Yeah.
Those naughty, naughty golf clubs. Right. Without further ado, sit back, relax and enjoy.
The real Rick. The best Rick.
The real Rick.
I want everyone to comment below if you're watching this. Hashtag we love the real Rick. That's it.
And yeah. He'll tell you a little bit about what he remembers of me as a 16-year-old kid.
Come here, everyone. I'll speak to Rick.
So, Rick, this is slightly bizarre for me. I'm not going to lie to you. Because as a 16-year-old, it's 20 years ago from now, I walked up to a college in Preston called My School College. Mm-hmm. I had a Burberry t-shirt on, mm-hmm. Okay, Burberry collar, okay, was Burberry trim.
Genuine or?
Of course it was. Playing off probably about 8 handicap.
Nice.
Thinking I was the bee's knees.
Earrings.
Oh,
double.
Plural.
Wow.
Blonde hair, fresh faced, didn't know what the world was going to bring me, okay? Oh. And I went to My School College. And I was presented, probably my first ever class, with Rick Daniels. Mr. Daniels. We didn't actually call you Mr. Daniels, but Rick Daniels as my tutor.
Yeah, it's been 20 years.
Yeah, I started in 20 years.
I think I look better after 20 years.
yeah, I think you do.
I don't feel like you've aged one bit in that time frame.
I've had the same haircut for 40 years. I'm 48 years old. I don't think anything's changed, apart from I've got a bit greyer.
That's crazy. So we've obviously introed this podcast as you being my old tutor.
Okay.
I was there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. You've been there for how long?
I'm entering my 22nd year.
Wow.
As a member of the teaching staff. I was a student there myself for 3 years as well on the degree programme. So I've spent more than half my life at Royal My School.
That's wow. Crazy. Now, today, we're actually coming off the back of a video we've just shot there today, right now, which will be coming out in a few weeks. I want to touch on that first, even though we don't want to give too much away. Honestly, right now, I think that's going to be one of my favourite videos we've ever made.
100%.
I don't want to give it too much away, but we went back to my old college and we challenged 20 of the students there to a competition for some big wonga
to be fair. Certainly fit for it was amazing. Youngsters though, was it amazing. 18 to 21, the mixture of ages?
Yeah, they're all the degree students, 18 plus, so we had to tick that box to make sure we were okay there from amateur status rules as yeah. Well,
so there was 5 challenges and very simple challenges, but it was an elimination till we got down to a final 2 until one of the golfers was crowned.
I can honestly say I don't think we've ever filmed a video with actually that much tension. I could feel the tension. You could cut it with a 3-iron.
Yeah, I think we've never used so many cameras. We've never used so many people. We've never had to rent a crowd.
Yeah, we brought a special crowd in that were there with the quiet signs and the special boards that we had put up. And they did a good job, really.
They did really good. Were you proud of your students?
Yeah, they think they did well. They were looking forward to it. Obviously, they're excited because you've been in to do a Q&A with them with a couple of weeks before, which I know you've alluded to already. So they got a bit of a feel for it, and then they knew what was coming. Obviously, the challenges changed slightly for the better, and I think the video is going to be great. Obviously, we struck a little bit with the weather, weren't we? But the way it went, and as you said, with the tension, we should have put them all on heart rate monitors from the beginning, shouldn't we?
I'm not sure how I would have fared in that situation.
We won't, again, without giving it away, the last few golfers that got through to the final stages, they were playing for big money, and they were so cool, calm and collected. You've either got some very, very good golf coaches there, or they're just the most.
It is. It's all down to the coaching guy, obviously, yeah, and the staff. But they did really well. I think when people get to see the video, I'm sure they'll be encapsulated by it. And it was great fun. And thank you for the opportunity.
No worries. It was good to give back. With you, obviously, now in your role there at MySco, we were just discussing this off air. What's your actual title? It's kind of course leader.
What do you think my title is?
Head of golf.
The boss.
Oh, that, I need to send that to my boss.
I just think head of golf. When I think of MySCO, and I'm sure there'll be ex-pupils, ex-students listening to this, they will only know you from MySCO.
It's very kind.
And there's been other tutors, there's been other coaches there, but certainly from considering you started 22 years ago, how that time frame has changed. I'd love to dive that into you a bit today. I want to give you the opportunity to tell people listening, what is MySCO College? Because even now, if I've said to people, I went to golf college when I was 16, certainly here in the UK, it's very unheard of.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They look at me and go, what? Well, golf college?
I still, even though I've been the last couple of days and it's opened my eyes somewhat, I still don't fully understand it. And I want to hear your explanation of it, because I imagine if you're young and you like golf, it must be heaven.
Well, you'd like to think that. That's what we try and do. We're the oldest running academic golf program in the world. We've been going since 1994 in terms of the degree programs that we offer and some of the FE program. FE is 16 to 18 for those that don't know. So you can come at 16 years old or you can come at 18 years old to do various courses.
Just a quick one, what's FE?
Further education. Okay. Called. So it's what you choose to do after GCSEs.
Yeah.
So there's FE and HE, further education, higher education. So we've been going since 1994. So Foxy, who you know, was on the first year program of that.
And so he is now, I knew him as quite a new tutor when I was there. Yeah. I almost feel like he wasn't in golf.
He was general sport, really, when you were there and focused on golf. Now he's got he looks after rugby, golf, cricket. So he's been loaded with a lot. But back then, he was one of the first students ever to go on to a golf and sports business program. And I came in 1995, did my 3 years there, and went to work at the Marriott at Worsley Park, which I know you've got association with.
That's a place we know a little bit about.
Yeah. I know you've been there a few times. So I was down there as like the golf events manager, and then got enticed to go back to MySCO back in 2000, 2001. And as you say, MySCO is historically or synonymously known as an agricultural or horticultural college, and it always has been, you know, with the farm background and where its location is. But from being on site, as you've seen yourself, don't get me wrong, that trend is still, that theme is still there. But it's also developed tremendously to include areas like vet nursing, animal care, the International Equine Arena that we've got there. We've got a motorsport team. And on the back of that, obviously, the sports side, and as well as the golf, which has been there the longest, we offer programs, educational programs in football, rugby, cricket, basketball, public services. So the brand itself has grown, but people will still always think that MySCO or University Central MySCO is an agricultural horticultural college.
So I know when Rick went, he had visions of playing golf every single day, 9 to 5, and he soon found out that's not the reality.
He definitely found out.
What is it, certainly, in all the ages, from 16 to 21, what are the actual kind of core modules then, if you go to study golf, that you would actually undertake?
Yeah, a lot of them, I'll just go back to your first bit, a lot of them students arrive, particularly at 16, think they're going to play golf all the time. Don't get me wrong, they do play a lot of golf, but they are there for an educational program at the same time. And without the educational program there, they wouldn't be able to take up the benefits of all the facilities that we've got and things that we offer. But speaking from my point of view, at degree level, when they come in, they're doing a lot of modules that are, everything's related to golf. All your assignments, all your classroom time is golf examples, and we'll come on to enrichment, things that we get up to. But modules they do are what I would say are transferable. So we do marketing, but it's themed around the golf industry. So we look at why different brands do different things. We do event management, finance, human resources, all to do with the golf industry. But probably the main module we do over the 3 years is golf operations, because a lot of our students will end up working in the golf operations side of the industry around the world, which I'll give you some examples of later. Everything they do there, and a typical timetable week for them, for example, my first years on the management program, is they're in 10, 12 hours a week, Monday to Friday, actually in the classroom, having structured sessions with the tutors. The rest of the time, they have a coaching day where they can use all the facilities we've got on site, use all the equipment that we've got.
Well there's a golf course, a 9-hole golf course. There's two academies now, effectively, yep. And two indoor academies. Yep. There's a massive putting green, which you're going to have an artificial putting green in the centre of as well.
That's great.
There's a small driving range there on site as well. There's obviously golf coaches.
Yep.
So as a golfer, you'd like to think when you go at 16 or 18, depending on your level, you're given opportunities to progress and improve on your game.
Yeah, that's built into your timetable as well. So your classroom time's there, obviously. But outside of your period time, your classroom time, you can go and practice as much as you like. You can use the facilities. And it's all there on site. The only difference between here and, say, traditionally American golf scholarships is the weather and the forecast that we get over here. But from bespoke students that have come through the system, I was thinking on the way down, just chatting to Stuart, and I think I've been there, like I say, 22 years. I've gone through about 800 students that have come through the system with us, which is phenomenal when you think about it.
And 800 golf students.
Yeah, of all abilities, including yourself.
I'll come back to what you remember of me at college, and that might be a bit of an embarrassing walk down memory lane, but you mustn't be able to go very far in the golf industry without seeing one of your ex-students.
Yeah, I mean, we're very lucky. As you know, we work a lot on DP World Tour, LET. We get around a lot. We go to different venues. We play a lot of events. And the chances are that a place we'll go to, there's someone there from Myersco, or they've been there 20 years ago, 10 years ago. And there's a network link now of ex-students that are doing so well in the industry. You know, I began there, like I say, 22 years ago. My first students are nearly 40, if not 40. And they're all in phenomenal jobs in different levels around the world, which I'll tell you about in a bit. And we're very lucky that if you go somewhere there's an event on, we'll bump into someone from Myersco.
Well, I just a bit of background for everyone listening. So obviously I went, Peter Finch went, Andy Carter went, Mark Addison from JCB went.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other names that have been there. Chris Hansen, who I definitely want to come on to Chris, because I remember Chris at college as being this kind of superstar, way better than all of the rest, and he actually continued to go on to European Tour and have great success James playing Robinson. In majors. James Robinson, who's been on the podcast and obviously on the channel before. I'm sure I've missed names, and I apologise if I have, but
we could sit here all day, Rick.
But even just the circles that I mix in, and probably people that are listening and watching, they've probably watched videos from some of those creators, or they've seen videos, and you know, in our kind of YouTube world.
It's how you met Pete, isn't it?
Yeah, it's how I met Pete, it's how I met Carter, all those kind of, you know, interlinked relationships came from the 2 years that I spent at college. I know some of those lads went on for a bit longer, but then, you know, even years above or below, you start to get to know people and you make connections, and it's fascinating, like you say, the spread of all these students. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, we're lucky. You know, yourself, every year now in the last 4 or 5 years, we've introduced an alumni golf day where we invite people back to come and see they're old friends and have a day out and have a night out with the current students as well as the past students. And from a networking point of view, the feedback I've had from the guys and the girls that have come back over the last 5 years, it's phenomenal. It's been an opportunity to catch up and then develop certain other links that they've gone on from a business point of view to utilise away from the college, which is great.
All those years ago, when it first got set up, what was its actual reason? Why did it get set up? Do you know actually the history of that? And was it trying to compete? Obviously, you're saying it's the oldest. Where did it get its inspiration from? If it's the first ever golf course, and are we saying that even before Americans and people like that got involved?
No, it's the first ever academic program in the UK, because the only other option was back then, because I was 18 or 20 when I went there, and if I wanted to go on and play professionally and do well in the industry from a playing point of view, you had to go to the States. And I get that, and a lot of our students still go to the States now after they finished our programs. But back then, someone who, I think it was Jeff Hutchins, was the guy that was my course leader when I was there and would have been in charge of the program, had spotted a niche in the market and said, we need to offer something from a golf background. And it was the first one in the UK, alongside another college that I went to before I went to Myersco at Merris Wood down in Guildford. And they were the only two places in the UK you could go to.
Barry Taylor went, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
You could do some kind of golf studies. And otherwise it was America or nothing. So someone spotted a niche, and I couldn't honestly tell you it was in the UK who did it. But I'm glad they did. And from there, things have grown. There's lots of other places you can go to now around the world, around Europe, which is great. You know, the PGA, I'm a PGA professional. They offer a bespoke route as well, which is fantastic. We're in no competition with the PGA at all. What they do is slightly different to what we do and from a management point of view. So we're all for supporting different routes for different students in terms of what they want to do and where they want to go.
When you hear about the America, though, obviously it's very well known, the American like collegiate system. But when you look at like tour pros who've gone to America and you see what they got a major in, as they call it, it's often like business or communication. Whereas this, what you're doing is this bespokely golf. Are there many golf bespoke ones in America as well?
There's a PGM program, Professional Golf Management Program in America. We have a link with Ohio State and lots of people out there. A gentleman called Mike O'Keefe, who's our link in America for not only what we do, but there's a national or international shortage of greenkeepers at the moment. And MyESCO was synonymously known, again, going back to it, that if you want to do golf, it was greenkeepers that came out of MyESCO College. Mm-hmm. And obviously now it's more so sports management, sports operations that come out of the college. We still do the greenkeeping and the sports dirt department, and it's massive, very well respected, but there's an international shortage of greenkeepers. The number of phone calls I get, we were talking about phone calls and emails earlier, have you got this staff, have you got that staff? And since COVID, particularly, you know, have you got any greenkeepers? And we can't at the moment fulfill the number of jobs they are, which is great for us because there's so many jobs out there, and we've got students lined up to go into these positions. But again, going back to America, if you want to go out there, I know a few friends that went out to the States, to Florida and places like that to do scholarships, and they had to do the major, like you said, but you could do things in like PE as your major or some art, which people might sniff at and go, what are you doing? You're just playing golf all the time, but you still have to do your academics while you're out there. With us, what we offer is it's a generic view of the golf industry. So they cover all areas of possible industry, and our modules and our programs are put together at 16 to 18 and 18 plus to suit the industry. So we sit down every year, every 18 months with what we call a technical advisory board. So can I say brand names on people that
of course.
So the likes of, we have a link with Callaway, Odyssey, Titleist, TaylorMade, the Marriott Group, obviously, potential employers. We have employers all over the world in Florida and in the Middle East, which I'll give you some more information on. And we say, this is what we offer. You know, because ultimately they'll come, like I said, the first students are now 40 that were with me. They're in director of golf positions. Like I've got three out in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. And every year they come and say, I need 3 or 6 staff this year. What have you got for me? Because they know how, they're educated. Mm-hmm. They don't have to train them up as much because they get a good background with us for 3 years. And all our modules that we put together on our program, we approach the industry and say, this is what we've got. What are we missing? What do you want? Is there something we need to change so that the industry is, it's always evolving? So we go through things called periodic course review, where we bring our courses up to date with what industry require as often as possible to remain relevant and ready for the industry to supply these new graduates to the world.
What's been the biggest changing factor in that period of time? So I'm guessing things like golf development coaching has obviously changed because of technology and Trapmans and GC quads and all that side of things. I'm guessing the golf business module has changed enormously.
Absolutely.
Because I'm guessing a lot of people when they first came, and I would have been one of them at 16, thinking, well, if I'm going to get into golf business, the only real way of doing that is being a head pro.
You know, that was the route, yeah.
How do I run a shop? That's obviously developed into many more different strands now. And even going on the idea, obviously, the world that we live in, I'm guessing now social media now is a huge part of the course as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've touched on that, and that's a module that we've got social media elements built into it, but we now need to bring in pure modules, solid modules about social media usage, how it works in the industry. You know, going back to the business modules that we incorporate, we get a lot of students that come to us that don't want to turn pro. So, you know, we always support going down the PGA route if you want to go that way, but we get a lot of good guys and girls that are coming off very good handicap. I mean, the average handicap at the university centre's 5 at the moment. Across, we've got 74 students there at present, so the standard's quite good. But not all of them want to play. You know, they all want to come in there with the hope of improving and getting better at golf. Some do want to play. You've alluded to players that have come through already, but the majority of them will go into a management opportunity and to have the skill set that we give them at the university centre is crucial to their development.
I think that's one of the things that I noticed, that I think sometimes people from the outside think there's almost 3 jobs for a golfer. There's been on tour, there's been in a pro shop, or there's been a coach. One of the things I loved when we were at MyESCO today and previous days is that the corridors with like little posters of, you know, pupils from years gone by and some of the kind of amazing jobs they've gone on to do, whether it be, you know, working for a golf brand or director of golf at a really well-known golf club. I suppose you might get some youngsters who start at 18 thinking, you know, I want to be here to be a player. But quite quickly, their eyes get open to how many amazing careers there are out there. And I bet you get some people who actually almost, not put the clubs away, but start to focus more academically because they've got these aspirations that aren't to do with playing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of them come in that want to play, and by no way do we say, no, you've got no chance. Mm. But we know how hard it is. But people have done it from our place. They've come in off, you said Chris, and we can talk about Chris, off 3 handicap, you know, which is a great handicap, but that's a good player. But to get the difference between being a 3 handicap and making it onto playing on the DP World Tour as it is now, it's phenomenal and it's extremely difficult. We can look at the stats of how many people make it, but we've had people come through the system to do that. But like you say, you've been down our Hall of Fame, so we've got lots of students that are in position. Andy Carter's on the wall. We haven't got you up.
I know.
You refuse to fill the paperwork.
No. Can I make a video instead?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it doesn't sound like Rick.
I think we've done that. And as you've seen, we've got people all over the world. You said Mark Addison at JCB. We've got guys and girls running their own golf clubs in the Middle East. Every year we send between 8 and 12 students to work in a place called Frenchman's Creek in West Palm Beach, Florida. And they can't go unless they've got these management skills, but predominantly they must have their degree program now in place. A lot of jobs are asking for a BA honours or a BSc, even to the point where the PGA have now developed their own top-up program or to make their qualification into a BA program.
It's very interesting because I remember going at 16 and I remember going to a careers advisor at the age of 14, let's say, at school. And they were like, you know, Rick, what is it you want to do? And at the time, I was just in love with golf. And I'll be honest, I didn't really know what I wanted to do in my life. I didn't really know what career path. I just knew I loved golf. And I think I might have even said I want to be a golfer and probably got laughed at and, you know. And I remember from that period of time between 14 and 16 starting to look at, well, what do I do with my life? Like, what do I do? Do I go to college and do what my mates are doing? And kind of, they don't really know what they want to do in life as well. Go and do, whether it's a business, you know, A-levels or something else. And then my school came up on the cards. And for me, location-wise, it was only an hour down the road up in Preston. And it was like, what? There's a golf college with other golfers and you can, like I said, I definitely went with this idea that I'd be playing golf all the time and got kind of very aware that that wasn't going to be the case. I feel like, you might correct me if I'm wrong, the students now come with a little bit more switched on that they might not be playing golf. You probably told me when I was 16, but I probably didn't listen. But I feel like they probably come with a bit more understanding of the course at that point. And genuinely, for 2 years, as much as I struggled, as I've said before, academically. I've never been good academically. I struggled in the classroom. What I forged there, like relationships. I lived away from home for 2 years.
Different set of skills.
I absolutely loved it. It was literally, I got all my manic stage out of me. And at 18, I'd left college and I ended up getting a really good job at Mia in Knutsford. And I'd almost like, because of the training I got from my school and the advice, it was like, well, at probably that point, I realised I wasn't good enough to be a golfer, to be a tour pro. Because like I say, in my year group, I think he might have been a year older than me, was Chris Hansen, which I want to come on to as being maybe one of your most successful players that have come out of my school. So it put me in a good stead to go, well, I'm not as good as him, but I still want to go away every day and put my golf shoes on and call it work. So that's where I started to go down this kind of PGA pathway, really. And obviously it developed into social media and things like that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But it was from that kind of advice to go, well, actually, there's X, Y, and Z jobs you can do in golf, which helped me go, okay, well, I don't have to put everything in just being a playing pro because the chances of that are super slim. Is Chris your most successful player that's come out of my skill?
I think if you're judging it on by reaching the pinnacle, which is to get onto a playing career and earning thousands of pounds, I mean, Chris is a good friend of mine and he won't mind me saying he's done exceptionally well. Like you say, when he was there, he was off 3 handicap, came to us, a lovely lad, played a bit of Yorkshire golf and stuff like that, worked hard, socialised, like you said. Just going back to what you said, you expect at 16 to come in. You've seen our renter crowd today, so a lot of them would expect to come and play lots of golf. And don't get us wrong, they do play lots of golf, but like I say, you've still got to do your academic program as well. And they can play plenty of times during the week and they can burn the candle at both ends, as our HE students certainly do. But Chris was one of those that was like you on the National Diploma, which is now called the BTEC program. And after, I think it was year one, year two, he looked at, I want to play. I really want to work in the industry, but I want to be a player. And we explained, and he knew how hard it was, but he rededicated his life to changing the way he practiced. He was up early in the morning, 6 o'clock. He was out on the rain. It was freezing. I'd drive in 7:30, 8 o'clock, and you'd see Chris sitting balls and thinking, what are you doing? It's freezing. And he's in the gym. And this is going back to 20 years ago, and things have changed dramatically. There's loads of jobs now, but like I say, when you came and you were thinking, I want to work in the industry, I want to play, there wasn't as many job opportunities now, and golf has grown, which is great for us. And going back to Chris, you'd see him beating the balls, and you'd see him working his nuts off, and he didn't change his lifestyle to the extent, he still went out with the lads, but he was out still, if he'd burned the candle, he was still out in the morning working.
I felt like he was a lot more switched on than I certainly
Whereas
was.
You was. Well, you were rolling back in, he was going out with his shag bag to go and hit balls on the fairway and stuff like that. And he worked hard and he finished with us. He did his 2 years instead of three. So he did a foundation degree. You can do a 2 year instead of the full 3 years. And he kept on playing, did well with the uni teams, did well at the amateur levels at various events. And went through Euro Pro, and in his very first year on Euro Pro, he did extremely well. I think he finished third in his first event that he played in, picked up one of these nice checks. And then a couple of years later, he wins the Order of Merit for the Euro Pro with about 38 grand, something like that, for the year, which was phenomenal. Gets onto Challenge Tour. Through himself, he'll say he struggled a little bit on Challenge Tour, but then kept working his nuts off as he did. That was his mentality. It still is now. And he made his way. He went to tour school. Obviously, we've just had tour school last week. One of our past students has just got done quite well at tour school. I'll come back to that in a minute. And he got the last card at tour school.
Chris did.
Yeah. The videos always say he had like a 5 footer. Chris says it's about 2 foot. It wasn't that far, but it looked good on camera. And he gets his card. And for us, we couldn't be more delighted as seeing someone who's come through our system. But he put the work in. We were only part of the system. Everything, all credit to him. You know, to get from where he was, 3 handicap to, I think he left us off +3, the old +3. And to get out there to earn a tour card and do well on tour for a good few years. And you know, I think in his best year, he got €450,000, which isn't to be sniffed at. And he comes back, he talks to the students every year, he does sessions with them every year, he's doing extremely well now with his own tour, the 2020 tour and stuff, and he is one that we can look at and say, there's others that have come through that have been at the college as well, like Tom Murray, Paul Kinnear, still doing very well as in the local region, and then just alluded to there, we've got Callum Barrow, who's one of Craig's students, who was with us for a few years. He's been working with Craig for 8 years, and he was at tour school this year. He's the only amateur to get through into the rounds 5 and 6, so he guaranteed himself a full Challenge Tour card. And I think he finished 40th and got a few starts. I think he's playing in Australia next week in the first DP Tour event. So to go from the classroom to tour is phenomenal, and it takes a lot of effort and work. And that brings me back nicely to you, Rick. So you were there.
I'm going to leave now.
No, it wasn't that bad. Because people, don't get me wrong, people ask me all the time, and I said, well, it's 20 years ago, but I can remember it. Yeah, you had the earrings, you had the, like, a spiky thing of your hair.
I'll have to find a picture somewhere.
I've got loads at college.
Have you?
Yeah.
We'll put it in the podcast.
Yeah. I'll have to send them in to you, then you can shred them. But like earrings and stuff, and the tour kit we gave you, which wasn't great at the time back then. We've got all pictures of you and Pete and stuff like that. And I always say to Mark, we say, what was Rick like? And I said, he was like any other 16-year-old that came in. You just wanted to, you know, you're living away from home. Because back in 2002, 2003, to live away from home at 16 is difficult. Mm. But it was great, wasn't it?
It was the best. I really loved that, living away from home a bit too much.
You know, you're meant to be back in your room at 11 o'clock because you're treated as under 18s and stuff. But obviously, you're still out in the middle of Preston or whatever, and bits and pieces, I'm sure. And, you know, you had a great time. We met lots of nice friends. And you've alluded to it already, you know, with the networking skills of people you met at college 20 years ago, the likes of Pete and Ant Carter and that lot that are out there doing great. And life skills were formed.
Yeah.
And look where you've got to. Can I always say to these guys, so, well, how can I be the next Rick Shields, or how can I be the next Chris Hansen, or things like that? And it's just...
Well, if you want to be Chris...
Party hard to be Rick.
Socialise to be Rick. It was a mad time of 2 years, and it was literally, and I know people who have gone to university, not many 16-year-olds get to live away from home. Is it still now? Do they get to do it now?
Yeah, they can go in. I agree with you. It is quite young still when you think about it. Yeah. Today's 16-year-olds different to you were 16.
At 16 to 18, we'd go and we'd socialise, and it was just...
You've got your own bedroom, your own pad.
Yeah. You were 20 minutes away from Preston Town Centre. We used to get a taxi into town. We'd go out three nights a week. It was dead dirt cheap.
The wardens are chasing you around, checking you in, which is...
It was like we were at university when we were 16.
That must be like, obviously Rick, as you can tell, loved it. But do you get some students who struggle with that because they are just 16? And
absolutely.
It hits them.
Absolutely. I do think it's difficult. You know, being there that long and seeing people come through the system, you can see how some love it. Mm-hmm. You can see how some embrace it. And then you also see the ones that do struggle with it. And I understand that. As a parent myself, I would probably want to see my kids going at 18. Knowing what I know, whether that's a bad thing or a good thing for me to say on the microphone here. But at 16 now, to be able to go away, the accommodation's phenomenal at the college. You know, it's like ensuite, bedroom, everything there. You've got a shared common room and everything's there. It's a mini market. I know you like the mini market.
I did like that. Loads of chocolate.
The food was good. We've been there two or three times now the last few weeks.
We've never seen so much potato go out. Any potato sponsors? Guy's the man.
Bird's eye.
I must admit, though, I felt very awkward this today after we'd shot the video, and Stuart, who's just off the camera here, cue jumped us. And we got booed by the big scary basketball players.
Oh. Yeah. Well, to be fair, they were right, but we had to push through.
We had to come back to record a podcast. That's what we were saying.
Yeah, we did say. Yeah,
with the golf kids, you can do what you want, really. That's Rick Shields. With the basketballs, they don't care.
No,
they
don't.
What are you doing?
it definitely forged. And I say again now, in hindsight, almost once I'd got to 18, I'd almost like, right, that's out my system. I've partied, I've done all that. And that's where I almost then, in my own sense, I think I got a head start on quite a lot of people.
Back then, definitely.
Who then continued, because a few more of my friends continued on to doing degrees and spent two or three more years there.
You nearly killed me those, did you?
where I went straight into a job.
Yeah.
I was very lucky. I got a very, very good job. And I was almost just straight into the world at 18. And I felt ahead of my world. I felt ahead of my friends because I was like, I'm working. It just felt...
I think as well, that's probably twofold, because not only did you get all the partying out of your system, like you've said a number of times off camera as well, there were some guys there whose ability you could tell you weren't going to match, i.e. Chris Hansen. If you'd have gone to a college down the road and just at home, whatever, and you're still playing at your own golf club, you might have had that big fish in a small pond mentality still.
Time.
But actually, I can still get on tour. But because you've been in the real world with better players, that right, actually golf, playing golf maybe isn't for me. I want to go down the coaching route.
I'll tell you a funny story. So probably year two or something, I actually bought Chris Hansen's old Mizuno TP11 irons off him.
Wow.
Okay, blades, like £25 for a set of blades.
Because they were worn away and you thought, this will look good if I'm using these.
You're spot on. So his eight iron, The centre spot was black. Just
black, yeah.
Like, worn out because how much like? He'd hit. But I don't know. I don't know if... Man, we're brand new, still in the wrapper. I used to have these big shovels. So I bought these blades and then I'd go home to my home golf course at the weekend and play. And then pretend, how's it going, Rick? Oh, yeah, I've been doing a little bit of practice and I'm showing them this eight iron that's been worn out to a pull. And they're like, wow, that's amazing.
And shoot 95. Yeah. In comp.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a great, like I say, life lesson. What going back though, and I think you've summarized the college up really, really well there. And it's like, there's so many different opportunities. And like I say, so many students go to MySCO for different things. But as a whole, it's almost more like an apprenticeship college, I think is an easy describing way of doing it. You go there because you've got a hobby or you've got things that you've been passionate about and you go there to enhance it or learn more about it. Like say, whether it's the equestrian, whether it's the motorsports, the mechanics, or whether it is golf or football or basketball, whatever it may be. What I'm interested to know a little bit from more your background is obviously you alluded to before, you're a PGA Pro. Did you have ambitions when you were 16, 18 to kind of make it on tour? Because I, from memory, you're a very good player. And weren't you off like...
Memory's very good, but recently.
Weren't you off like quite a low plus handicap as well?
Yeah, so I, like I said, I'd go back and bore you again. I was at university. I went to my school myself. I'd done 2 years previously in London at Merrie's Wood. Had a great time. Did a golf studies program straight out of A-levels down there. Again, like going back to you at 16 to 18, it was a fantastic time of my life. I was living away from home. I missed home, but I had a set of people from all over the world that I was there with. Really enjoyed it. Fantastic time. My golf improved dramatically. I was a member at a place called West Hill, which was phenomenal for £60 a year, which was an amazing golf course down there. And I had a great time. And I finished and I came home and I said to my mum and dad, I loved it, but I don't think I've learned anything. And I was 20 years old. And my handicap had come down to scratch or plus one. When I'd gone down there, I was off one or two. And I really enjoyed it, but I thought, I'm not quite ready to... I want to play, but I'm nowhere near good enough.
And did you know that because of other students?
Yeah, because you hang around with the players and stuff like that. And my mum, by chance, had seen MySCO. I knew nothing about MySCO. So what year would it have been? 1995, the summer. She said, well, why don't you go here? They're doing a golf management degree. So I said, okay, if you let me, I'll go. You know, it was quite local. It wasn't far. I was originally from Stockport. So travelled, lived in. And I had 2 good years there, really enjoyed it. My golf improved again. Did my top-up degree down the road at Preston Campus. You can now do it all on site at MySCO, so it's a lot easier. And by the time I'd finished there, I was off plus two. I'd represented Great Britain and Ireland in the World Student Games in Switzerland with Phil Kenyon was in the team, Graham Maley, Steve Cox, who's over at the PGA Tour now, is one of the chief rules referees. That was our team. We flew out to Switzerland, and we were one of the first... ever Great Britain teams at the university level to come back with a medal, which was great. So even then, back then, you know, I was a decent player, but I was nowhere near good enough to play. My mum and dad were very supportive and always said, if you wanted to play, we'll support you. But I didn't believe I was good enough and I didn't want to put any financial constraints on them. And I look back now with hindsight and I'm glad I didn't because I love what I do. But after I finished my degree, they said, right, you've got the summer and then we'll have to find a job. So I was nearly 23 years old then, 22 years old. And I was allowed to play. So I played a full season in the Northern Order of Merit, as it is, and national tournaments. Didn't do great at all. Played okay. And then the Marriott was opening up at Worsley Park and it just said golf staff required. So I sent my CV in. Didn't apply for any particular job. Got interviewed. And 2 weeks later, found out that I've got the job. And I was given the job as the golf events manager. And I worked there for just short of 3 years. And my role was obviously dealing with the corporate day, society days, the membership. And I shared an office with eight ladies, and they were in charge of the reservations for the hotel and stuff like that. So being the sporty one that I am, I was obviously, as you know, a lot of the football teams come and stay at the Marriott and things like that. So I was given all the opportunities to do that and develop my skill set there from a business point of view, dealing with the likes of Real Madrid and Juventus, Milan's, and the players that would come and stay, and I'd have to go and look after them, as well as the Premier League stuff. I always remember one year getting a proper bollocking off Phil Thompson when Liverpool came to stay, and it wasn't my fault, but well, that's where my love for Man City obviously exceeds Liverpool. and a great time. And then, like I say, my ESCO are looking for some staff. And I've always fancied teaching. I don't know why. It just was there niggling. And I seen it and I thought, well, I had a great time when I was at my ESCO. And why not go back and teach something that you love? You know, like you've already alluded to it, golf's a hobby. But to be able to do and work as a hobby, you never work a day in your life, do you? So that's what Stuart will say to me. I'm never working. But to go back there and go back and end up with you as one of my first students, Rick, was fantastic. I mean, you were a year later after I started. So, and I've been there ever since. And we've developed the programs over the last 20 odd years since I've been there. And we've got, I'm just a small cog in a team of seven of us at the moment that are there. We can't do it without each other. I think the service and the opportunities we provide with what we do is phenomenal for what we are. And like I say, if I could do anything different, I'd move us to like Florida and stuff like that, because we're different to the American scholarships in what they do. They're heavily focused on the performance side. And although we've got that as one of our qualifications, it's more to do with people that come to us. Handicap isn't a prerequisite. You don't have to be plus four to come to my ESCO college, University Centre my ESCO. It's just an interest in the game. And over the years, we've had people come off 28 handicap, complete beginners that want to study an academic program to get a position in the golf industry, because there's so many job opportunities now. And age isn't a barrier either. So in the last 2 years, we've had, I think Adrian was 55 years old when he started the program with us. And he's just left last year with a first class honours degree.
Wow.
So we get them as young as 16 and as old as 55. And they come in with an ambition to work in the industry at various levels. And we try and point them in the right direction through the industry links that we've built up with over the last, well, for me, 22 years that I've been there.
Wow, that's incredible. So you had no, you mentioned a minute ago, you always had this kind of idea of teaching. Was that never coaching as such? Because you have coached at my school, obviously, haven't you? You've done your PGA.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I'll let you in to see. I didn't do my PGA to coach.
When did you do when was that then? Sorry, I'm a bit lost the timeline. Was that
so? I started at my school 2001, and whilst I was there, a lot of jokes go around that teachers get a lot of holidays. So I'd just like to set that straight, that we don't get student holidays. So when they're off, like my lot finish in middle of start of May and they don't come back till September, they get like 15-16 weeks as a degree student for their summer. If I'm lucky, if I get 4 or 5 weeks off in the summer. So we get pro rata holidays. We get around 6 to 7 weeks a year. When you've got kids like myself, you know, I take my holidays when they're off. But back then, before the kids and everything, and when I turned pro in 2002. And the only reason I did it was I played at the Lancashire Open at Blackpool North Shore. So I was playing with some of the big players like Shackers, Dave Shacklady, Scott Aston from Hesketh at the time, and players like that, John Cheatham. And I finished second in the event as an amateur. I'd had a hole in one in the event on the seventh hole. And I got nothing for it. There was a villa in Spain for a week, and I bagged it for a one. And I've looked at the villa, and they've gone, no, amateurs can't win the pro prizes. Okay. And end up finishing second in the tournament. Scott Aston wins it, and he wins, I think, £1,500 was the cash prize in 2001, 2002. And I would have got a cheque for £1,000, which back then, you know, was all right. It was quite decent. And I got a voucher for £200 to spend in your local golf store. And I just looked at it and I thought, I'd played county golf and I'd love playing county golf with the teams. And I just thought, what am I doing? You know, I'm not going to play all year with my new role at the college. I can't, because of my commitments to what I'm doing academically. But I've got a 5-6 week window in the summer where when I take my holidays, I could have like a mini tour. So that's what I did. I thought, right, I'm going to turn pro. I'll do my PGA training. At the time, you could do an accelerated route where it was 2 years instead of the three. So that was beneficial for me.
What was the benefit in that over just losing your amateur status then?
Money.
Would you not?
But if you just turn pro,
could you not have just still won the money then?
Yeah, you can. But also when I looked at it from a career point of view, the PGA are a fantastic brand. To have that qualification behind me certainly benefit me.
That makes sense.
In my role, what I do now.
And also, I guess, you might not have known this at the time, but a lot of your students, like me, went on to do their PGA. So it meant at least you've been there and done that and got the T-shirt.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah. So a lot of the qualifications that you do with us, you could say are very similar to what you do for your PGA training. Apart from at the end of the PGA program, when you start, you turn professional. With what we do, you don't have to turn professional. You can gain all the industry experience you need and the management skills. But like I said, handicap's not a prerequisite. You don't have to turn pro. So that 5-6 week window in my summers was an opportunity just to you know, pay my house deposits and things like that and stuff. So
pick up a couple of checks.
Pick up a couple, instead of vouchers, because over the years, we're playing with old lads, you pick up your vouchers, which was great. And I know it's changed now. You can actually win money. You put the money in your account now with the way the RNA have changed the system parameters. And that was my only reason why I did the PGA to start with. But obviously, it complemented what I do as a with my teaching qualifications that I picked up at the college as well. So it enhanced my credibility, you could say, in terms of if I'm stood in front of you at the classroom and you're throwing rubbish at me and things like that and wanting to go and play golf, at least you've got someone in front of you who actually knows, hopefully, what they're on about.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I'm going to ask you a question here, and you have to name names, okay?
Okay.
What are some of the most interesting... You've had 800 students come through your door. Yeah. Give me some interesting, funny stories. Like, you don't have to name names, but what are ones that are clean for the video?
Well, that stopped it already, hasn't it?
There must have been some shenanigans. It must be very difficult to have. Because how many new students come each time? 30-odd?
Yeah, we normally get around 25 to 30 students across both courses in the FE and HE.
And over the 22 years you've been doing it, 800 students.
Yeah. There's been some right characters. I said to you the other week when you came in, and when I go to retire and I have to write a book, you know, when I can't get in trouble.
I think some of these might be for after the podcast.
Yeah, after the podcast, obviously. But no, it's not been that much. I mean, I wouldn't be at college if there was problems like that. But we've had lots of characters and we get up to lots of things. We travel a lot. We work with the tours a lot. And I've told you some stories about some of the guys that have got into... not trouble in a bad way, but in an indirect way on tour where we've got super fans for players and things like that that follow players around and we have to keep them away from them so they don't bother them while they're playing, things like that.
One of the things I noticed today and yesterday, and I'm going to be quite stereotypical here, but it's something I believe. When you do find people who've played golf from a young age, obviously there's always going to be some outcasts, but most people are respectful and well-mannered and, you know, respect the rules. And I noticed that today. I mean, I know they're not young kids, you know, some are grown-ups, 18 to 21, but every single one of them was polite and, you know, a real kind of...
Credit to the college and also credit to the parents.
Exactly, yeah. No, that's one thing. And I think, again, without, I'm going to be stereotypical, I think if you've got that same number of footballers or rugby players, you might not always see that same level of maybe maturity at young age.
Etiquette.
Yeah.
Even at the end when I was saying bye to the lads today, they all shook my hand. They all proper looked at me in the eye. Like, some of them took the hat off. It was just well-mannered.
That's the beauty, I think, of golf. Like that's why I'm so privileged to have played from such a young age. There's some things you don't even realise at the time. Like you said, shaking hands, taking your cap off, you know, speaking to grown-ups. I think golf does massively teach you, and you could see that definitely today.
Yeah, we're lucky. I mean, golf has got the etiquette. You always get some strange characters, but most of them are excellent. And I've been there, like I say, we keep saying it, 22 years, but I wouldn't be there if I didn't enjoy my job. And every year I get a new batch in. And every year that refreshes me because I get a new group.
Keep you young.
Well, I do, because things can get stagnant. You know, you've 3 years and you're spending time together, not in a bad way, just, you know, you want to keep everyone happy and the banter going as such that you have in the classroom and that link in with the students and the staff. And every year, the staff, when we get a new group of students in, it's a fresh challenge for us. Certainly educational, particularly being a parent now, seeing what comes through at 16 and 18. But I love it. You know, and they give me grief, I give it back. Mm-hmm. But you're right, at the same time, they have got the etiquette. Mm. Across the campus, we're very lucky at Myersco, whether it is football, rugby, we've got some good groups. But I thank you for your comments. The golfers are a really good group at the moment. What we've got, a very good etiquette, professional skills as much as possible. And I think some of that will come through on the video when the viewers watch what happened.
Yeah, I honestly can't wait for that. I think it's going to be amazing. Rick, thanks for your time. It's been amazing. I've loved, there's been a lot of the story there that even though I feel like I'm, as an ex-student, I feel like I'm very switched on with Myersco and what they've done. There's lots of in that story that I've learned today, mm-hmm. which has been great. I think a lot of people listening, certainly if you've got young kids and not sure which direction to go down, whether it is Myersco or not, at least know there's options out there that you can actually pursue your careers or your hobbies or things that you love. And like I say, we probably all sit here now with that privilege of being able to do a job that we love. And it, like I say, it almost then doesn't feel like a job. Yeah. It feels like more, you're just getting paid for a hobby, which is great.
We get so many emails, not just from youngsters, from people of all ages saying, you know, I love golf, it's my hobby. I'm not the best golfer, but I'd love to quit my job, doing whatever it might be, and get into the world of golf. And I think, you know, even the people that don't want to go back into education, this certainly shows that there are so many jobs out there in the world in golf that are exciting and unique.
Yeah, absolutely. We've reached that stage now that at the moment we've got students coming through and we can't fulfil the number of job requirements that are coming in on the back of COVID, and we've got to sustain that as a sport and as an industry. But for our point of view, it's great. You know, at the moment, students come, and I always tell them, you've got to be willing to start on the bottom of the ladder and work your way up. You can't go into these 25,000-30,000 whatever pound jobs straight off the bat. Some will. We've had students that have done that, you know, but if you graft, it's like the hotel industry. You can work very quick up in the golf industry from a management point of view. And coming at 16, coming at 18, there's a variety of programs for all ages and abilities. You know, people are more than welcome to have a look online at our websites, ring me or any of the guys at the campus and have a chat. Parents want to speak to us. I get lots of Twitter messages from people that see where I work and say, what do you do, and things like that. And I know Rick Shields has been through your program, and Chris Hansen, like, saying, oh, I know another student that's been through, can we come and meet you? Please feel free to do so. Don't get me wrong, it's not for everybody sometimes, and I get that. But come and have a look at what we do. Have a look at what the setup is like. And, you know, there's plenty of positive stories that have come out of MySCO, and I'm sat next to one now, obviously, and loads of others as well. And please feel free to contact us if you are interested in any kind of golf career.
Perfect. Did I mention it in the podcast that I got a college fellowship? Did I mention that a couple of weeks ago?
We kept it under wraps.
You said you weren't going to say.
Oh, well, I've got last time I went. I'll say it.
Are you good, sure?
The principal.
Yep, Alison, yep.
Mentioned that I now have a college fellowship, so I basically get a degree next summer.
You finally complete your degree.
Somehow, some way.
There's one caveat, you have to apply to the...
Guy says I have to do it in like a...
Quill. I want it to be Quill. Yeah, and then
be
a,
as posh as you want, yeah.
Can I just send him a WhatsApp?
Yeah, I'll voice do note. It. I'll
that
have
would,
it.
That would be the Rick Shields way, so I don't see why not. Because
down that lens now, Rick, I want you to accept your fellowship.
Mrs. Robinson,
I accept my college fellowship and I will be there cap and gown next July.
Thank you very much.
That's official. Brilliant. Thanks for your time, Rick. You're amazing. Last question. Who's the best student, me or Peter Finch?
You.
Thanks. Right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll stay tuned. Lots more to come. Like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.